Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 17th of July, 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And this show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. In today's show, we have interviews with Andrew Throssell, partner at Hebblethwaite's Chartered Accountants, with professional mountain bikers Annie Last and Steve Pete, alongside Mike Sanderson and Barry Dunn of Go Outdoors, Chris Healy and John Dallow of Sheffield City Council, Pat Horscroft, local bike rider, Steel City Media's Joe, Cy Turner, owner of Cotic Bikes, all talking about Sheffield's brand new mountain bike trail, open this week thanks to community crowdfunding and support from local businesses. And also on the show today, we have an interview with Debbie Matthews, the Chief Executive of Manor and Castle Development Trust, before we turn to our guests, some business news. Tata Steel has announced plans to cut over 700 jobs due to rising costs and the strength of the pound. Most of the job cuts are due to come in its plant in Rotherham, which makes steel bar. Tata said that the business has been underperforming and hasn't been able to keep up with competitors in Europe. They say energy is one of their largest costs, and they're disadvantaged by the UK's cripplingly high, in their words, electricity costs. That was a quote from Carl Kohler, chief executive at Tata Steel's European operations. Carl also said that whilst the UK government has announced helpful measures to reduce the impact of high energy taxes, these measures still haven't been introduced. He said they want to play their role in reinvigorating the UK's manufacturing industry, but imports and high energy costs have undermined the competitiveness of the foundation's industries. Applications for the UK Social Enterprise Awards close today. Now, if you're an avid listener of this show, you'll have heard us talk about these last Friday. And in fact, you'll have heard us announce last Friday then that applications were due to close last Friday. After our show last week, Social Enterprise UK extended their applications by 1 week. So they do actually finally close today. If you're a social enterprise and you feel you deserve national recognition, then go to socialenterprise.org.uk. Find out how to enter. It's quick and it's easy. And you might be up for a national award. Don't forget, applications also close today for Sheffield Soup, innovative, real-time community crowdfunding for business, social enterprise or community projects. It's going to take place here in Sheffield on the 29th of July, but if you want to be in it with the potential to take the pot of soup, the pot of money put up by the crowd, you need to apply today. There's more at sheffieldsoup.com. And of course, we interviewed Penny Raven alongside Chris Dams and Ian Anderson, also involved in Sheffield Soup, last Friday on the show. You can get the podcast at sheffieldlive.org. Go to shows, business live, and find the show from the 10th of July if you want to find out more. Now, as ever, I always welcome your views on what's going on in business and social enterprise. You can get in touch with this programme and with Sheffield Live. Email jamie at sheffieldlive.org. Text 07904 272 200. Find us at Sheffield Live on Twitter. And find me at Jamie Veitch on Twitter too. Whether you're starting or whether you're running a business, whether you're self-employed or if you're an employer, we're keen to hear from you. So we're going to bring in our first guest in a few minutes. Before we do that, we'll play a track of music, which is The Beat, Can't Get Used to Losing You. You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. Now, Manor and Castle Development Trust has been going for 18 years, and in that time it's made a massive social impact, and it's also been behind the launch of innovative local business centre, The Quadrant. The Quadrant has now been running for 10 years, and to talk about The Quadrant and Manor and Castle's anniversary, I met up a couple of weeks ago with Debbie Matthews. Debbie is the Chief Executive of Manor and Castle Development Trust. We're going to play the interview with Debbie now. I'm joined today by Debbie Matthews, Chief Executive of Manor and Castle Development Trust. Debbie, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Jamie. It's a pleasure.
So it's a special time for you because you've been celebrating an anniversary. Can you tell me a little bit about your 18 years?
Yes. Well, we've been celebrating two birthdays, actually.
Indeed.
And it all started with actually celebrating the Quadrant's 10th birthday. And while we were discussing the celebrations for that, it suddenly struck us that actually it was Manor and Castle Development Trust's 18th birthday this year. And we just decided that we would have a joint celebration, which was very exciting times. And it's taken us by surprise, actually. I think we'd forgotten that we were coming up for our 18th birthday this September, actually.
So absolutely fantastic to bring the two together. And you mentioned the Quadrant there and the 10th anniversary, the 10th birthday of the Quadrant. The Quadrant, of course, is a business centre. It's off the Parkway. It's been described as one of the region's leading business centres and genuinely innovative for many reasons. And actually, perhaps you can talk to us about some of the innovation that's gone into the Quadrant, why it was founded in the first place.
Yes, I mean, the Quadrant was originally the idea of Dave Clarkson, who was my predecessor for Manor and Castle Development Trust, and it came out of an opportune time where the council were looking to sell land on the Parkway Business Park to Finnegan's, and as part of that they wanted to put in some community benefit, and Manor and Castle Development Trust was in a prime position then, having a good track record of developing regeneration projects, to take advantage of that. So we were lucky enough to get a piece of land, and the three key aims of the Quadrant was firstly to kickstart the regeneration on the Parkway business site, because it was already identified as a struggling economic site. It was also to fill a gap in the market, which was about providing really high quality managed workspace for businesses that were ready to grow and move out of startup units. And the third important objective for Manor and Castle Development Trust was to actually create an income stream for the long term in order to continue investing in the community regeneration that we've been doing for the last 7 years in the Manor Castle ward. Because we knew that 7 years of regeneration was fantastic, but it was not going to solve all the issues in that particular area, given the 20 years of decline that the area had faced as a result of the previous recession.
So this is crucial in terms of sustainability, long-term sustainability, not just for Manor and Castle, but crucially for the area as well, and in terms of acting as a catalyst, as you've just described. So you talked about those objectives. How do you feel it's done in terms of performing against those objectives?
I think we've outperformed those objectives. when I moved into the Quadrant in June 10 years ago, there was nothing else around us. It was pretty much a desert. And now, all around us, there've been huge developments. So the XYEB site across the road from the Quadrant was derelict and empty when we moved in. And now it's another vibrant business site with Pentagon and Vauxhall. It's absolutely amazing what's been achieved over there. And there've been other sites built out and occupied by businesses. So we are now surrounded by other businesses. So I think the kickstarting economic regeneration, I think, was a real success. Yeah, and we've had numerous businesses. I think at the last count, I think we've had 148 businesses in Quadrant over the last 10 years. Some are still with us from almost day one, but we have had obviously businesses moving in, outgrowing the Quadrant and moving on, and new businesses coming in. And in terms of Manor and Castle Development Trust, without the Quadrant creating that surplus, and that being gift aided to us, then some of the work that we are currently doing around community regeneration and youth work, and working with people who are unemployed, we wouldn't be able to do that now. So the money from Quadrant is really being invested in in high quality services to the people in the Manor Castle ward.
So Quadrant generates a trading surplus. It's an excellent, healthy business, and that is allowing you to really benefit in the community.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, that's crucial as well, because I suppose the regeneration funding landscape is very, very different. It's continually changing, and it's different now to the landscape 10 years ago when the Quadrant opened. It's different to the landscape before that. You know, if the Manor Castle Development Trust has been going for 18 years now, so you've really managed to thrive when some organisations who are active in community regeneration haven't been able to, because things have changed. Now, interestingly, with the business, with the Quadrant itself, I've visited for meetings on many occasions. I've used the cafe, and it's a high-quality environment, isn't it? It was built to very, very high standards. I think environmentally as well, it's been built to superb standards as well. And perhaps you can just tell us a little bit about some of the features of the building.
Yeah, I think the whole... right from day one, we wanted a high-quality building that was a landmark building. And there was a real effort to build in environmental factors. So it's reached a BREEAM rating of excellence.
Yes.
And we've got photovoltaic on the roof, which generates our own electricity. And we've got the I can't remember the name of it now. It's the grids on the outside, which prevent it getting too hot. And we've got air cooling inside, but not air conditioning, because it's more environmentally friendly. The street, which people always comment on when you walk in, that's what people say, that they sort of go, wow, because you walk in, you've got this open reception area, and you've got this open street with the atrium. And it's absolutely beautiful, but it's also really practical, because it enables businesses to actually meet with each other and talk to each other in the street and actually do inter-business activity. So the whole thing was designed around promoting businesses working together in a really high-quality environment, and supported by a high-quality centre management team who can offer services over and above what you would get if you were just in an office with no management services.
And this kind of attention to detail and environmental commitment as well, do you feel that that has helped in terms of your vacancy rate and keeping and retaining tenants as well as attracting tenants?
I think so. I think that there's several. I think there's several benefits to Quadrant. I think the location is really key. We're just off the parkway. We're a few minutes from the M1, so which is ideal for businesses who are growing and are looking to open up new markets.
We're open for business life.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. That was Debbie Matthews, the Chief Executive of Manor and Castle Development Trust, talking about the Quadrant, celebrating its 10th anniversary of provision of an innovative business centre, which is also an asset supporting Manor and Castle Development Trust work. Now, we're going to bring in our next guest right now on the show. It's Andrew Throssell, partner at Hebblethwaite Chartered Accountants. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me today, Andrew. So we've brought you in today to talk about the budget. We've all heard about the budget, but there are some aspects of the budget and changes that businesses might not be aware of. We know about the rise in minimum wage. Some of us have heard about corporation tax rate. What about, though, dividend payments? What's the change there?
This is quite a significant development, in particular for small and medium-sized companies, in that a lot of these entities effectively extract, or the owners, the shareholders, often family members, extract their income from the companies by way of a mixture of salary and dividend. And historically and currently, a lot of the structure is based around fairly low salaries and high dividends, which are effectively more realistic in terms of tax liabilities, in particular in saving of national insurance liabilities.
Yes, indeed. And that is set to change for businesses. Is it businesses with solely one shareholder, or does it affect more businesses?
No, it affects all shareholders who take dividends from companies.
So big change here for small businesses, and lots of businesses, lots of small businesses with less than 10 employees, with or perhaps even with one or two partners, shareholders, have set themselves up, rather than being self-employed, as limited companies, as you say, to pay themselves in this way. Now, there's been significant comment about this. Everyone knows that we all need tax to pay for public services, but some people have said that corporation tax is going down. Big companies can pay even less. Tiny businesses pay even more. Is that right? Is that fair? Can you take a view, or do you simply have to implement the rules, Andrew?
Well, clearly we have to implement the rules, and fairness is very subjective. A lot of people would say that it could be seen to be unfair that small business owners can reduce their total cost in terms of tax and national insurance by means of this dividend policy rather than salary. Against that, a lot of small business owners would say that given that dividends are paid out of post-corporation tax profits of the company, in that the company has already paid currently 20%, reducing to 19% and 18% in the 3 years to come, having already paid that tax as a company, there then shouldn't be a further tax liability on the dividend as that's extracted. And certainly that will be a good argument in terms of a basic rate taxpayer who at the moment will not pay any further tax on that dividend, given that the company's paid its corporation tax. But from April of next year, there'll be a 7.5% income tax charge on that basic rate taxpayer for the dividend he or she extracts, rising to 32.5% for a higher rate taxpayer.
Yes, so quite a change there.
And
a change that basic rate taxpayers who have been paid out of their businesses in this way need to be aware of and planning for as well. And that's it's also all about planning, isn't it? Because plenty of business owners have come unstuck by not planning appropriately for future liabilities here in terms of taxation.
Indeed, and the other point to bear in mind is that the Red Book commentary surrounding the budget indicated that this was a start to reduce the incentive to incorporate. There's a hint there this could be ratcheted up in future years. It could be the start of a change in the basic structure of dividend taxation that could become more onerous as far as small business owners are concerned.
Yes, indeed. And that's a good point. It's the start of a process that is perhaps putting people off from incorporation if they're small businesses. So their alternatives might be, I suppose, a partnership or registering as self-employed. But that then comes with the lack of protection that limited liability gives, doesn't it?
Indeed. This is only the taxation aspect we're considering particularly today. And it becomes more difficult. There have been some new reliefs introduced in terms of disincorporation for those who have already gone down the route of a limited company. But they're not straightforward rules at all. But we could see those being dusted off and brought back to the fore, given that the tipping point, if you like, in terms of when it becomes beneficial has moved quite significantly now in terms of income generation.
Yes, it has indeed. A few other changes as well that affect businesses. I mean, we've talked here about the corporation tax change, but there are other changes, of course, the national living wage, and things that people might not be aware of in terms of annual investment allowance and tax relief on acquisition of goodwill as well. Now, there's quite a lot about this on your website in terms of a handy guide for small businesses too. Which changes do you think are most significant here, Andrew?
Well, it varies according to circumstance. Certainly, the annual investment allowance, which had been forecast or scheduled to reduce to £25,000 per annum from January next year, has now been increased to what is termed a permanent limit. Permanent will be judgmental again, to £200,000. In other words, limited companies or other business entities could invest up to £200,000 in plant and equipment and the like and get 100% tax relief on that from January 2016. That's a useful incentive. There was also an increase in the employment allowance, this again effective from next year, which is an annual allowance of currently £2,000, rising to £3,000, to be offset against national insurance costs of the employer, so an incentive to employ more people,
yes,
intended to partly offset the increase in the living wage.
Yes, so with the national insurance employment allowance, most employers wouldn't pay the first £3,000 of employers' National Insurance contributions from April 2016. Is
correct.
That right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and that applies to the, you know, a one-man company in the same way as it would to a multi-million-pound company. The allowance is the same.
Yes.
So again, it moves the incentive for smaller companies away from dividends and back towards salary.
So this is intended to rise to help the process of increasing the minimum wage, and perhaps help companies to do that.
Correct.
Ensure companies do that. Okay. Lots of more information on your website, Andrew. Thanks very much for joining us today. Where can people find out more? Do you want to give out your website address?
Yes, it's simply hebblethwaites.com.
Lovely. Well, Andrew Throssell, partner at Hebblethwaites, Chartered Accountants, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. We're going to play a quick track of music now, which is Massive Attack, Unfinished Sympathy. You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. It's Friday, the 17th of July. Now, are you interested in doing business in China? The rapid development of China's economy is continuing, and it's providing UK businesses and social enterprises with great opportunities. But there's a lack of knowledge of Chinese language, business cultures, and of the market. These can be major concerns for business travellers and for people wanting to do business. So, a forthcoming interactive event taking place on the 28th of July, 5:15 p.m. at the Octagon Centre in Sheffield is hoping to address this. At the event, you can meet with experts ready to help overcome obstacles to doing business. It's an informal event with workshops from the Confucius Institute. You'll get the opportunity to explore Chinese business etiquette and Chinese business fitness. In other words, are you ready to do business in China? You can learn about the Great Ambassadors China scheme, which links UK organisations seeking to develop business opportunities in China with Chinese students who have a great knowledge of the Chinese language and culture. You'll also get to enjoy a tasty, authentic Chinese buffet and Chinese music performed live. Find out more, book your place online, go to sci.org.uk/event/a-taste-of-China. And that is taking place on the 28th of July, 5:15 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. at the Octagon Centre in Sheffield. The cost is £15 plus VAT to attend, and the event, A Taste of China. If you're interested, find out more. Now, earlier this week, I went along to Lady Canning's Plantation on the edge of Sheffield, just off Ringing Low Road. And this is the location for a brand new mountain biking trail, which has opened on Tuesday this week. The trail, which was a brainchild of Ride Sheffield, was first of all funded thanks to community crowdfunding. Mountain bikers, cyclists in Sheffield got together and supported a crowdfunding campaign to make the trail happen. That went really, really well. Lots and lots of money was raised very, very quickly. And then a local business stepped in, Go Outdoors. They saw what was happening and they thought, we want to be part of this. We want to help make this happen. Other local businesses were also involved. Cotic Bikes, a bike brand based here in Sheffield, and Norton Mayfield Architects, to name but two, had made this happen. So it's a really innovative scheme that, thanks to Ride Sheffield, the support of Sheffield City Council, the support of hundreds of local individuals and the support of local businesses, has now opened and has added to the outdoor offer here in Sheffield. So on Tuesday this week, I went along to find out more and to talk with mountain biking stars, professional mountain biker Annie Last and professional mountain biker Steve Pete, both very, very well known, but also with Mike Sanderson and Barry Dunn of Go Outdoors, with Chris Healy and John Dallow of Sheffield City Council, with local rider Pat Horscroft and local rider Joe of Steel City Media, and with Cy Turner of Cotic Bikes. Now, we're going to play those interviews with everyone concerned now. So, Mike Sanderson, thanks for joining me today.
No trouble.
So, we're here at the opening. Why did Go Outdoors get involved in the trail?
Well, basically, it came about with Ride Sheffield doing the crowdfunding to do this project. Myself and a few of the other guys at Go Outdoors, a lot of keen cyclists at Go Outdoors, were out riding our bikes, and we'd all chipped in £10, £20, whatever we could do. We were talking about, we're actually very close to here riding our bikes, and we were like, oh, wouldn't it be great to kind of get the trail up and running, and I wonder how long it will be, all those kind of questions. And then we just kind of came to the conclusion of, you know, would Go be interested? And we kind of pitched it to the bosses and said, you know, what a wonderful idea it is, and the other opportunities within the woodland with horse riding, and there's potential for a campsite and bouldering and other things like that. So it was kind of like, you know, that's where it came about, really. So
you pitched it to the bosses. Were you pushing it an open door, or did you have to do a little bit of convincing? You were all obviously convinced yourselves.
Yeah, I think that basically once the Ride Sheffield guys and then also John Dallow from the Sheffield County, Sheffield Council, kind of showed them the plans and what was going to happen and what other potential prospects could be in there, you know, it was an easy sell, to be fair, for Go. And say with Sheffield being the home of Go and Calibre, our own brand bikes being developed in and around this location, it makes perfect sense. So
the timing's nice with the launch of your own brand, Calibre bikes, and particularly a new full suspension bike as well.
Yeah, so we've just launched the Boss Nut, which has just got 10 out of 10 in NBR magazine, which is a real nice accolade to have. Those guys at NBR certainly know their stuff, but they don't give out 10 out of 10s very often. Yeah, we're really proud of that bike, and it's a perfect sort of bike to take on these trails and learn to ride, you know, faster and better. But by no means this trail is, you know, built for intermediate, more advanced and beginners as well. So,
and that's the beauty of this trail. The trail has something for everyone.
It really does, yeah. So it's kind of like, I would imagine like if you had to grade it, it's a blue graded trail. But the guys that built it have really kind of used the land to the best advantage. So to roll it through and everything, there's no jumps that require you to do them or any drops or anything like that. But then as you kind of progress as a rider, that you'll be starting to ride it faster. Then everything becomes a little bit more challenging as things come to you quicker and more sort of challenging speed. So, yeah.
Well, here's to the launch of the trail and to the development of the next stage as well. Mike, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks very much.
So, Barry, thanks for joining me, part of the Go Outdoors team. Yeah. What's your role here, Barry?
Yeah, I'm head of cycling.
And so cycling, Go Outdoors, natural fit with this project, of course.
It's a great fit, yeah.
Yeah, as we've heard from Mike.
Yeah, Go Outdoors, born and bred in Sheffield as well.
Yeah, indeed. So the funding was already doing really well, the crowdfunding.
Yes.
And loads of your team have put personally into that. And as we've heard from Mike, they talked to head office about supporting it. Now, how much did Go Outdoors have to put in to make this happen?
I think in all we've agreed to support the project for about 60,000. It's 20,000 per trail over 3 years.
And so that's to make it each of the three parts of the full trail happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the sort of the general maintenance and annual upkeep of the trail. Yeah. So we've agreed to fund it to 60,000.
And your commitment to that, obviously something like today, it's a fantastic platform for exposure and for talking about your bikes and showing people what your bikes are capable of as well. But it's important as well in terms of business and local community and cyclists working together. Is that something that Go Outdoors has always done, or is supporting something like this a new departure for
you?
Yeah,
I think so. With Go Outdoors, I think the entire team are you know, we've lots and lots of passionate cyclists in head office, and Go's always looking to sort of figure out how do you put back in the community or give back in the community. This isn't so much about kind of business and exposure. It's much more about this is a Sheffield project, first of its kind. It's a trail centre on a national park, and it's just a great opportunity and something really exciting to be part of. It probably doesn't make great business sense, but it's just something we're all passionate about. You know, the founder, John Graham, you know, he's always trying to give back to the local community. He's very involved in mountain rescue. He just loves this area. You know, the Peak District's kind of home to a lot of our team.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for making it happen, Barry. And, let's go and enjoy the trail.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Chris, John, thanks for joining me. Exciting day, exciting time for city, exciting time for cyclists here in Sheffield. Now, in a time of local authorities being subject to more and more pressures on budgets, this is a really innovative project in terms of how it's come together, how it's been funded. Tell me about your involvement in making it happen.
Well, I'll go first, but I won't want to take any credit for it because Mr. Dallow here has been far more involved than I have. But I think that the point that he raised is absolutely fundamental here. With the City Council facing, you know, unprecedented cuts, this partnership between the private sector and, if you like, the voluntary sector crowdsource funding is a fantastic example of how Sheffield people and Sheffield businesses can come to make a really great offer for mountain bikers within Lady Canning's plantation.
And a great offer for mountain bikers, innovative partnership, as you say, Chris. John, the offer here supplements what we already have in Sheffield in terms of Parkwood Springs, which I know you were heavily involved in making happen, fantastic city centre resource, and then the natural resource outside of Sheffield, the Peak District, much of which was in the Sheffield city boundaries, and which is a huge draw for people in Sheffield. So this is all supplementary, additional, new, exciting. But interestingly, a good link between the city and the Peak District.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the thing around Lady Canning's it is all about a link, really. It's, you know, we're lucky enough in Sheffield that we've got a third of the city in the Peak National Park. We've got these facilities elsewhere. To me, it's about incorporating into how you already use the city. You know, it's not about coming here as a destination, but it's hopping on your bike and riding out and using it to link into the natural resources that are already out there. And I think that goes across the board, be it, you know, cycling on or off-road, walking, you know, running, climbing, or, you know, horse riding and all the different activities and sports that happen in our, you know, our woodlands, our naturalistic spaces and our parks. And, yeah, I think it's just great that we've all managed to work together. You know, it's a new partnership and it's been great to see us, you know, learn together. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on making it happen. Chris, John, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
So I'm here with Annie Last. Annie, thanks for joining me today. You've just ridden the trail, first loop. How was it?
Oh, it was amazing, yeah. It's obviously first time down, and it was great. Really, really good trail, really fun, flowy, really good.
And as a competitive mountain biker at the highest level, what sort of benefit will you get from having this resource here in Sheffield?
Oh, massive. It's just on the edge of the city, so it's really accessible. But for me, it's just great to have really good trails close to the door that you can just come and train on. So for me, it's going to be a really good training venue for me to come in, do some technical training on or some effort training. And with it being really a good mountain bike trail, it's really specific to my races, so it'd be a great race replica as well.
So that specificity is fantastic for you for training, that's great, but the beauty is also that the trail is so open to all.
Yeah, exactly. It's the sort of trail where for all levels of riding you can get something out of it. You can ride it if you not if you're like a novice, not very confident, you can pick your way down. But also for people who've got amazing technical skills, they can really push it and get things as well. But also with it being so easily accessible from the roads and stuff, it's easy to come up and get onto it. And also it's got great links into other trails in the Peak District, so
and
perfect.
Those linkages are great too, as we've heard from you and from John and from Chris earlier. Linking this trail with longer rides gives a more technical, a more demanding ride, a more interesting ride for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's you can either do it on your way out or on your way back, or use it in the middle of loops, and it really adds. You've got a lot of kind of basic bridleways are quite like flat and open in this area, so to be able to link in some of those with this great, like we said, fun technical trail is really good. It really adds to the riding or to the training.
And training, of course, is something that must figure hugely in your calendar.
Yeah.
so what's the current schedule in terms of training?
So at the minute we're in the middle of the race season.
Yeah.
So we just had a World Cup weekend before last, and then national championships, European World Cups, that sort of thing. So at the minute my training is that really specific stuff. So yeah, it's about coming out and getting the mountain bike trails and riding hard.
Annie, thanks very much for joining me, and all the best in the series.
Thank you very much.
Pat, you've just ridden the trail. What do you think of this?
It's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely flows like magic, much longer than, frankly, anybody could have expected in the land that we've got here. It's fast, it's interesting, it's technical, it's lovely. And it's you can be ridden by a beginner and be ridden by, as you've seen, Petey. So anybody can ride it. And I'm aiming to be the oldest person to ride it at 72 in August.
Well, congratulations. But maybe not for long, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure someone will bid that. Yeah. But now I'm hoping it's a really good gateway to the peak, because the Peak District riding's quite hard, and for beginners it's very hard. So here they've got a more controlled environment. They can get into it, ride it slowly, bring the kids, enjoy it, have really good fun. It's brilliant. Yeah,
lovely.
Well done, Ride Sheffield.
Fantastic. Thanks, Pat, for joining me.
Okay, bye.
Joe, what do you think of the trail?
It's awesome. Yeah, I can't believe how well they've kind of utilised this whole bit of wood. It feels like it kind of goes on three times as long as it should do, which is a good thing. And I think it's good for kind of any abilities as well. I mean, it'd be perfect for beginners because you can kind of go any speed, but at the same time, for the good guys like Steve, Pete and Annie Laster here today, they can kind of go their speed and enjoy it too. So, and I think it's the perfect link, finally, from Peak District into kind of the urban Sheffield side of town now. And it's kind of, it's finally, yeah, it's just bridged the gap now from out in the countryside into the city. So it's perfect, yeah. So.
And really lovely story of how it's been funded from individuals supporting the crowdfunding campaign and business.
Yeah, yeah, because I think crowdfunding for trails like this, I think it's quite a new thing, but it's been perfect. I mean, the whole Sheffield's, it's such a good outdoor community that they've all come together and managed to, you know, bring in £15,000, and with the help of Go Outdoors as well, it's cool. I think it kind of shows a lot about the community in Sheffield and how kind of strong it is at the moment. So yeah, it's good.
It certainly does. Joe, thanks for joining me.
No worries. Cheers.
Si Turner, Cotic Bikes, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So crowdfunding here, it's all your fault.
Yeah, kind of. It was, the idea came up at a meeting, just like, how can we lay our hands on the money?
Yeah.
John from the council had said, you know, he was open to the trail, but obviously there was no funding available from that sort of point of view. And we thought, well, you know, maybe crowdfunding might be the way forward. And we hummed and hawed a little bit. And then one Friday, I rather high-handedly just decided to do it because I have access to the mailing list on Ride Sheffield. So we sent out the bank details and the PayPal account, and I sent it to all my press contacts and said, "Give you money." And the guy who was the treasurer at the time, on that Friday night, he just texted me saying, "My phone is going mental." Like, it was just PayPal, like £10, £20, £50, £10, £20, £5. And it just, that Friday night, I think we got over £1,000 on that first Friday
straight
night.
Away.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. So that was amazing, really. Yeah, it went from there.
It went from there, and it grew to about 15,000 in total, crowdfunding.
Yeah, I mean, it went in steps. I mean, originally we thought we were going to need about £8,000 or £9,000 because we were going to volunteer build it. But then Parkwood opened on the other side of town, Parkwood Springs, and that got so much use and so much hammer that council landowners said, you know what, this can't be volunteer built. It's going to be, it's got to be professionally built. It's going to get absolutely, it's going to get used so much. So the guys from Bike Track stepped in, said, you know, yeah, we'll build it, but it's £20,000. So then we had to go out again to everyone and say, you know, guys, you know, change of plan. This is this, that's that. We did fundraisers. We did all sorts of things. So anyway, in the end, we did raise the money. We raised, just from personal contributions, just all of those 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds from local people all over the country, we raised over £8,000. Norton Mayfield Architects, local company, put in £5,000. Cotic put in £2,000. We have a thing where we put in, we contribute to local trail funding every year, and this year it was this. Avanti Conveyors, they put in £500, so it's like £7,500 from local businesses. And then, as Mike from Go Outdoors has probably explained, you know, they saw an opportunity because we had a plan for hopefully doing more. So they said, well, we'll come in to get you to the 20, but we'll also put in, we'll commit to, you know, supporting getting all the rest of the trails built as well. So yeah, it's been a real group effort. It's been absolutely amazing. But yeah, and then here we are today, we're on the new trail.
Here we are, new trail is open.
Yeah, and it's, it's surpassed even my wildest expectations. Jordan, the guys at Bike Track, have done an amazing job.
Yep.
They really have. I mean, I've just been having the most fun riding down it today, but I'm going to be back up here at the weekend with my kids, they're 7 and 9, and they're going to be absolutely loving it as well. It's just...
That's the thing. It's accessible for kids. It's accessible for all.
Well, this was the pitch we made from the very, very start, is the whole thing is that, right, it's hard to progress on bikes in Sheffield. You've got the parks, you've got some brilliant access out into the peak. You can maybe do Houndkirk Moor. It's beautiful, but... Then you head off Jumbles Road, you go to Blackamoor. Yeah. It steps up in technical level quite quickly. So we wanted something on this side of the city that would link in with the parks and people coming out of the city, but also help people progress, help kids progress, so that when they do get a bit more confident, they can maybe go and do some of that stuff and go and enjoy some of the other riding that Sheffield's sort of rightly famous for.
So. Famous for indeed. And talking about fame and legendary bike manufacturer here in the city, or here on the edge of the city.
You're very kind. bike company. In the city, absolutely love it, yeah.
Is it difficult being a British brand, or do people have an affinity with you because you're a British brand?
No, it's amazing being a British brand. I mean, particularly, people in the UK, the UK is a big mountain bike market, and people want to buy British brands. We do things, just slightly differently that make things a little bit better for UK riders, for UK conditions. They trust that our bikes are going to last, maybe, because we ride in the grit and in the rain and all of that kind of stuff. But particularly being associated with Sheffield, I moved up here a few years ago, and it's home. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love the scene here, and Sheffield just is world renowned for its mountain biking. It's with PT, with Annie, all the other bike brands that are based here, the things that go on. I mean, the scene is so strong, and it means something to come from Sheffield, and I couldn't be happier to be part of that.
Si, that's great. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
So I'm here with Steve Pete, multiple world champion. Steve, what do you think of the trail?
I'm over the moon. I mean, they've done an awesome job building the trail. We've just been doing a couple of laps now, and the very first lap that I did, I was just loving it, just up and down, over the bumps, in and out of the turns, and just pumping along. Almost a kilometre of trail where you just pump and don't have to pedal, really, so fun.
Pump, swoop, brilliant. Obviously really enjoyable for you and for riders of your calibre. We've also heard how accessible the trail is as well.
Oh, it's brilliant. We've got Pat here today. She's 71, I think, at the moment. And I've just watched her go down, pulling little wheelies, jumping over little bits, and actually showing the skills that she's learned from riding local trails in Sheffield over the years, just up and down, pumping. And there's also some little kids just rode down there, which I think little kids at that age, being able to ride a trail like this, I would have loved it if I had something like this at that age. So it'll bring their skills on no end.
It'll bring their skills and their enjoyment, and it just makes it so accessible for people, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You're straight into Lady Canning's here and straight into the trailhead. And it's just an awesome feature for this part of the city.
It is, and this comes after Parkwood Springs, which has been phenomenally successful, hugely popular in Sheffield as well.
Yeah, Parkwood was the first sort of thing we really did in this area, and it's been brilliant. Lots of kids ride there now, and people of all ages, to be honest. So it's just if we can expand and do more of this stuff throughout Sheffield, then
it's good for the city, it's good for the economy, it's good for health and well-being as well. But it's an interesting story of how this has happened, isn't it, with people funding it, putting their own hand in their own pocket to make it happen, and then local businesses get involved, council helping as well.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Everyone's just rallied together, and it's just good to get the local community all together helping out. And now we've got an awesome trail that will be here for years to come. Job well done for everyone.
Absolutely. And what's next for you? You've famously been injured this year.
Yeah, I've had an ACL reconstruction about 3 or 4 months ago, so I really have knocked myself out for this season. So I don't know. Probably not get to race before the end of this season, but I've got a couple of trips coming up. I'm off to Iceland and Norway doing a couple of different field trips, so still keeping busy while doing the rehab,
getting fitter. All right, well, all the best with the recovery there, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
No probs. Cheers.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. You've just heard interviews with Mike Sanderson and Barry Dunn of Go Outdoors, with Chris Healy and John Dallow of Sheffield City Council, with Annie Last, professional mountain biker, with Pat Horscroft and Steel City Media's Joe, both local riders, with Cy Turner of Cotic Bikes and with professional mountain biker Steve Pete. They were talking about the new Lady Canning's Trail, which has just opened thanks to Ride Sheffield, Sheffield City Council, support from local riders, local businesses to make it all happen. If you've not been, get up there. It's fabulous. In the programme today, we've also heard interviews with Debbie Matthews, the Chief Executive of Manor and Castle Development Trust. And we've heard from Andrew Throssell, partner at Hebblethwaite's Chartered Accountants, talking about the impact of the budget on businesses. If you've just tuned in and you've missed all that, don't worry, it'll all be up on the Sheffield Live website as a podcast later today. Go to sheffieldlive.org, find podcasts, look up Business Live, and look up Friday the 17th of July. We talked also earlier today about a forthcoming event, Doing Business in China. That's coming up on the 28th of July. We'll hear more about that next week. We also talked about Chris Morrey of Doncaster Roundtable. Local business person Chris has been fundraising for the Sick Children's Trust. He and colleagues have just ridden 135 miles to show support to a local girl undergoing rehabilitation in Sheffield Children's Hospital. And if you want to support what he's doing, go to justgiving.com, look up Andy Booth 5 and find Sick Children's Trust. Now, the show will be back next week. Thanks very much for tuning in. And thanks also to Sangeeta, who's been here in the studio as sound engineer. But don't go away right now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That's on from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. And today, we have a real treat for you. We have live performance from Kirsty Bromley. Before the show, we'll play out with a quick track of music, which is quite apt given we've been talking about cycling up in the trees at Lady Canning's plantation. It's the payroll union, and it is Through the Trees.